You gotta love those summer readings. Very cheery, aren't they? In the past couple of weeks, I've been away, and it's a joy to be back with you again. One of my friends said it was kind of a tour of Beth's life the last 2 weeks as I visited family and friends and places that I once lived. What's interesting about that is that to be a disciple means to be a learner. It means that sometimes we need to revisit things over and over again to actually get their message, to actually learn something. They say that we need to hear things 7 times before we actually take them in and learn them. And that doesn't even include the practicing of them. And so all of us here are considered disciples, and all of us here are considered learners, and hopefully will be to the end of our days. One of the places I visited on my travels was the Vancouver School of Theology in British Columbia in Vancouver, where I did my Master of Divinity degree. It was a long time ago. And I realized as I checked into my accommodation on campus that the last time I had spent a night there, when I lived there, was over 25 years ago. Wow. Wow indeed. I can't be that old, can I? And what struck me when I checked in and realized that our course that we were studying was going to be offered in the Epiphany Chapel there at VST was that this was the place where my faith and vocation as a priest was formed. For 4 years, I studied there. I was mentored and taught. I was uplifted and at times beaten down. I was encouraged, and I was admonished, and I was essentially just formed as a priest. And it was there that I began to speak some of my truth, where I began to speak who I really was, where I began to live out of that place. What was fascinating was to realize I was there with 7 colleagues, lay and clergy from our diocese. What was fascinating to learn was how some of the church in British Columbia is so very different than the church in Eastern Canada. And that they had remarked on part of my sort of way of being a priest that's a little different than some of the things they thought of. And so when I was there, it gave me a wonderful opportunity to learn again of what that was. The church in British Columbia is fiercely independent, much as British Columbia is fiercely independent. It reflects that. It's a place of people who forged new pathways and did new things on the other side of the mountains. And so it's kind of this place unto itself. In the church in which I was formed, it was in the days when the residential school atrocities came to light, when we as a church started to face that reality of how we had participated in the denigration and abuse of people, their culture, their very beings, their souls. And it was a church at the time, and still is, one that was already facing secularism, that was not used to not being part of the greater sense of government and church together. It was a very secular church into which I was ordained, that of which we are only really beginning to taste more or less now here in Ontario. And so it was into that place that I was formed. It was into that place that I was learning to speak my truth. And it was into that place where I learned that speaking one's truth does not mean peace. Jesus says this morning, not peace, but a sword. Well, that is so true. I don't like it. I wish that to speak one's peace meant, or to speak one's truth meant peace. But when the truth gets told and the truth gets loose, and when it's finally uttered, it actually does something else. Because when we're called to speak our truth, to stand up for what we believe, a serene and untroubled reception is not always the result. Angie Thomas said, "Sometimes you can do everything right, and things will still go wrong. The key is never to stop doing right. That is like our truth. It's not that argument or antagonism is intended when we speak our truth. It's just that peace is hard to come by when the truth is actually spoken, and even more so when it's lived out. Jesus tells the truth to his disciples. If you anticipate a lack of resistance to the truth of which I am asking you to speak, well, I have news for you. The kingdom of God is not tranquil or a quiet existence free from anything that's unsettling or discord. The kingdom of heaven calls into account rulers and systems. It calls into account those of us who are part of those systems. And the kingdom of heaven speaks the peace which only God can give. Believing in Jesus, and I don't mean just thinking about it, really believing in what Jesus says and stands for, and then admitting it, is risky business. Relationships will change. Relationships might end. That's what he's talking about. He doesn't intentionally mean to set mother and father against their daughters and sons. But you all know, you've spoken the word of truth to someone, and that relationship, if it's big enough, can hold it. If it's wide enough, if it's strong enough, if it's grace-filled enough, it can hold the truth and bring peace. And sometimes it cannot. It must break and change and reform in another way. But God always calls peace into that. Peace for the person who speaks it, and hopefully eventually peace for the person who hears it. The church, we have to decide whether we're actually tell and live the gospel and bring the true peace to those who suffer, those in need of healing, those who are marginalized, those who are demonized, those who are oppressed. Will we bring them God's true peace, realized and known and gladness and joy, fulfillment and contentedness, happiness and blessedness? Or, out of fear of rocking the boat, will we just stay mediocre, stay privileged, stay silent? We know as a church what that is like. I will never forget when the diocese next to my own was filed for bankruptcy many years ago. I will never forget when the bishop had to resign. I will never forget when the church in British Columbia thought that not just that church, but our whole national church would end. That's because truth was spoken. It didn't end. Here we sit. Here we still are. In some ways, in those days, I remember some of us saying we hoped that it would end, because maybe we'd have a chance to start over and do what we were really meant to do. But that's not what happened. Several of us here in the pews today are ordained clergy who've been through all that, and we're still here. We're still hoping that the truth we speak makes a difference beyond these walls. And so this week, as we enter into our celebrations for Canada 150, it's a delicate balance, isn't it? We celebrate the country that was confederated 150 years ago, and we remember that it was here long before us, long before those 150 years, long before even our Indigenous and Aboriginal peoples. And so to celebrate that, holding the truth and celebrating the peace, is a tricky thing. And no one knows that more than those of us who live in our nation's capital. And so when we learn about being disciples, that's what Jesus is teaching us today. When you're a disciple, it's not easy. You have to hold these things true. You have to hold your own truth, speak your own truth, be who you are meant to be. Our dean always says, our cathedral is what our cathedral is meant to be. You at St. John's, don't do what we're doing. Do what you're meant to be. That's what we hope to model. If you're good at social justice, do social justice. If you're good at opening your doors and welcoming people, do that. If you're good at being a small country church and you have a few people and you mostly have coffee together and inform those people's faith, do that. Do what you were called to be. That is no different from each one of us in our own lives. So just as I found and was reminded by and was grounded in what I was formed in last week when I was in Vancouver, I hope that each one of us will remember to speak our truth. But expect a sword, because God's peace expects justice. God's peace asks for righteousness. God's peace demands value for and regard for every human being, no matter who they are. And God's peace is what will save us all. So may we be disciples, may we be learners of the truth and bearers of God's peace. Amen.